Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. To walk like you, Lord, to talk like you, to live like you, to act like you, to forgive like you forgive, Lord, to believe like you believe, to share like you share, to deny ourselves like you deny yourself. Oh God, to prefer others above ourselves like you did, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Before we are truly understood, we wanted to grow long hair, we wanted to wear middle part, we wanted to even wear a robe. Some people wanted to go so fast, put the nail scars in their own hands, thinking that to be like Jesus was the physical person, maybe like the Hoffman head or something. But the song says, be full of compassion, loving, forgiving, tender and kind, helping the helpless, cheering the fainting, seeking the wandering sinner to find. To be lowly in spirit, holy and harmless, patient and brave, meekly enduring, cruel reproaches, willing to suffer, others to save. To see the life that he lived, to be like that. You see that same life live itself through us. And when the same condition come, we behave just like you behave, because he is the same, does the same, acts the same. He cannot do different. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. When we sing, oh, to be like Jesus, we're not thinking about the Hoffman head. We're not trying to think of how maybe he walk or how he look. We're not trying to picture Jesus on a throne somewhere, but we've seen Jesus in the Bible. When they spat upon him, he forgave them, he turned the other cheek, amen. He denied himself to live for others. He taught us how to forgive. Oh, to be like thee, to be like thee. His bride is himself revealed. Bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, feet of his feet, life of his life, works of his works. That's the bride, friend. And how we desire to have that tonight. Be more filled with his Holy Spirit. Fill me now. If you really want a real filling, you've been in the meetings, you heard the word, you laugh, you had joy. But joy is just a fruit of the Spirit. You dance, you get happy. All of us did. We had a wonderful time. God encourages us. God reminds us he loves us. God come down close to us. God give us a good time in the company of other believers. We prepared for the meetings and God bless us in these things. It's history. It's gone. Can't be recalled. But it's in Venezuela now. It's present tense to them. It's history for us. We have to face tomorrow. We have to go on. We have to do the work God called us to do. Amen. And how we want to live every day for him. Cannot live in a rearview mirror. A life that will not live daily for him is not worthy of this gospel. But we want to face today, face tomorrow, keep on keeping on. Hallelujah. And with every day, as we die daily, we empty out. As much as we empty out, there is so much more for God to pour into us. If God would pour out his Holy Spirit upon us and we are not dying, we could be a false anointed. Because the rain will only bring up what kind of seed is inside. If it's self, when the Holy Ghost fall upon yourself, it's going to express itself. That's why he said, Lord, did we cast out demons? Did we do this? He said, depart from me. I never even knew you. You workers of iniquity. He never denied what they did. If the rain fall upon the thorns and thistles will come up. Because that is the life in there to begin with. The same rain fall upon the wheat, fall upon the tares. Is what kind of seed it was on the inside. That's why we want to know it's falling upon planted word. It's falling upon that soul that is part of God. It's energizing that Christ comes out. Faith to believe for your brother. Virtue to go with what you are with meekness. Knowledge to know where you stand. Temperance to stand the trials and the testings. To hold your flesh in subjection to the word. Amen. To live every day for him. That's what we desire. Amen. God wants to give that, friend. God wants to give that tonight. God wants to come down and tabernacle himself. God just wants to give a blessing. God wants to live in you. I will dwell in them and walk in them. The world will not see me. You will see me. I can make my abode with you. You'll become my dwelling place. Amen. That's what we're desiring. And if you pray according to His will, you have the petition you desire from Him. You could have faith. You are asking according to God's will. Fill me now. Fill me now. Let us sing the chorus and then we sing the verses. Fill me now. Fill. Jesus, come and fill me now. Fill me my trembling soul. Sing to the Holy Spirit. Sing to the great baptizer. Be now. Oh, talk to Him. Express your heart to Him. Fill me now. As you see the great battle ahead, you see what is required of you. You see the promises. Jesus, come. Give you power to overcome, power to prevail, power to possess the gates of the enemy. Fill me. And fill me, gracious Spirit. Gracious Spirit. Though I cannot tell thee how. But I need thee. I need, oh, greatly, greatly need thee. Oh, that's what your prayer is, calling the Holy Spirit to come to you. If you draw nigh unto me, I'll draw nigh unto you, he says. Every fibre of my being, fill my feet, fill my lips, fill my hands, fill my heart, fill my mind. Hallelujah! Fill my soul. Oh Jesus, let me be so filled with your Spirit, Lord, so pregnant with your life tonight. fill every empty vessel in here tonight, Father. Pour in your oil tonight. Strength in the and our sacred feet I bow. You shall have it. Hallelujah. When you stand praying, ask anything in my name. Blessed are the hunger and thirst of the righteous, for they shall be filled. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise your wonderful name. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God in the highest. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Return to Romans 15. But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. For which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you. But now, having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you, whenever I take my journey to Spain, I will come to you. For I trust to see you in my journey, and to be brought on my way dear by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. But now I go to Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. For it had pleased them of Macedonia and of Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints who are at Jerusalem. It had pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. When therefore I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain. And I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. You may have a seat. I just wanted to thank you again for the loyal support in the meetings. It was a great blessing and success and a great encouragement to our precious brothers from Chile, who is now in Venezuela, and then from there to make the journey back home. But nevertheless, we desired that you would play an important part, and then we would have the opportunity to see a part of the word fulfilled and manifested in you and through you, that we desire to see as real fruit of the gospel. And you know, sometimes reading the Bible, we don't pay attention to scriptures like these. We read them over because it don't seem like to hold no mystery. But yet, the very same word tells us, when you read the Bible, if you don't see Jesus Christ in a verse, go back and read it over. That didn't mean some verses, it means every verse. Because heaven will pass away, but not one jot or one tittle of his word shall in any wise fail. And to you who so unselfishly gave and supported the service with your presence, with your offerings, in every way with all that you did and participated in serving and everything, may God richly bless you. I was reading to you on Sunday out of Philippians 4 and showing you when Paul wrote the epistle to the Philippian saints. It was an epistle he was writing to thank them for a gift he had received. And how that became the Bible, that became part of the revelation of Jesus Christ. That took up a great portion in the Bible. Thankfulness.
thanksgiving, expression of appreciation and gratitude. And here in Romans, Paul is writing to the saints in Rome. And you know, sometimes we can catch things, and as we read this little portion here, they had desire to see him. They had never seen him before, yet there was in his message. Yet they were believing the things that he taught as a Gentile church. When they was going to see him, he was going to go there to die. He was going to come to them in chains. He's going to be under house arrest and these things. But their desire to see him, they long to see his face. And you try to think of that like a church, blessed by the teaching of a ministry. When he wrote this letter to the Romans that we have, 16 chapters of Romans, revealing redemption, reconciliation, propitiation, atonement, justification, the dynamics of the Holy Spirit, adoption, the redemption of the body, the mystery of the Gentiles being brought in as the wild olive branch, the Jews being blinded to bring them in, all these things in Romans. And the thing that Paul could write this to them, knowing that they had so desired to see him. And here in his letters, he closes off, he tells them, he says, I myself, having a great desire these many years to come to you. That sometimes a minister wants to visit a church, that he might hear it's a great church, standing in Rome, in the midst of heathenism. Rome, which was like the eternal city where Caesar reigned. And the Roman power, the fourth beast, was the world power in that day. Even Jerusalem was under its dominion. Yet, in the midst of that great pagan city, where they had a man deified as God, Caesar, sitting on the throne, who became Pontius Maximus. And here he stood there, and in the city of Rome, you had Christians who was coming out to believe the gospel, which to openly confess was to die in martyrdom. And here Paul writing to many of them and desiring to many years to go and see them. And he says, maybe when I go to Spain, I might be able to branch off from Spain and come down to see you and to be with you. And, you know, we read those things in the Bible and it tells us something about the ministry and the church. It tells us about the fellowship of believers. It tells us about people who carry the mystery. Because remember, the seal opened in heaven. The messenger on the earth caught the mystery. Paul was the man to catch it when that seal broke, when it was revealed to him. He caught it. And he said, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. He was carrying those things. He could teach the great thing that God had in the back part of his mind, how the church was chosen Christ before the foundation of the world, and the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world, and was predestinated, and was going to be a glorious church without spot, without wrinkle. And he was carrying this, and wherever he went, he was preaching, and churches was being established. That we even know how the Roman church started with some apostles who had went out there, Andronicus and the other one. And how after this one of the emperors raised up, I think it's Diocletian or one of them, and how they wronged all the Jews. And after they wronged all the Jews, they was banished, and by the time they went back, the church was full of idolatry. And Polycarp himself traveled 1,500 miles, and he couldn't get them to come back, and the Holy Spirit spoke in an audible voice and said, leave Ephraim with his idols. But here was Paul, in that time, desiring to go to them. And he was writing here and saying, I had pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution to the poor saints who are at Jerusalem. And he was telling these Romans in his letter about the poverty the church in Jerusalem was suffering, and how the saints in Macedonia, which is in Greece, and Achaia, little churches, had given to help the poor saints in Jerusalem. Because if you study the history, right after, in the book of Acts, when the Holy Spirit came, they begin to throw them in prison.
They killed James by execution. Just go and kill Peter, but Peter was delivered by the Holy Spirit. A little bit afterwards, Herod rose up like a god among the people. Famine was in the place. Agabus had prophesied famine and so on. And the saints were suffering many hardship. And then a little church in Macedonia got under the burden. These saints had never even been to Jerusalem. But the message that they embraced had started in Jerusalem. The Holy Ghost that they were receiving had fell first in Jerusalem. The Son of Man, whose message was walking in, was revealed to the Jewish people first. That's why Paul says in verse 27, "For if the Gentiles had been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things." And showing that it was because of the Jewish church, the Gentile churches received the gospel. Because Paul himself was a Jew who was taking it to the Gentiles. And so right there, you say it is their duty, showing churches have to know what their duty is. And that's what I'm complimenting you for, because you fulfill your duty. You fulfill part of your duty. In one place here, they gave to the ministry that ministered the word to them. They supported them in a time of need when there was famine. And this was the instance, this was written that there was famine. But showing that the gift of giving, which I believe have been so greatly displayed, how you gave and you gave unselfishly. You give to show that the virtue of giving is in you, not in a small measure. And that is one of the things that identifies you as a real church, as an established church. And when Paul is writing to the Corinthians, and if you turn in the Bible, 2 Corinthians, we went through this many times, and I just feel it's fitting tonight to read it again, because you have now fulfilled it, and it should be real to you. Second Corinthians chapter 8. Paul is writing to the Corinthian church. I want you to notice he was making known the needs of these churches. Because the churches made up the body of Christ. And so churches didn't have to know churches to help them. They had to be united in the faith under one head, which is Christ. And 2 Corinthians 8, look what it reads here. He says, "Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia." He is referring to Romans 15, which I just read for you. "How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy, their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality." In Romans, he was telling us how they gave to help the poor saints at Jerusalem. But now here in Corinth, he's telling us when they did that, they themselves were not in a position to give. That they was as poor, maybe as them, in Jerusalem. But yet, hearing of the need, he said how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. They were so willing to give that in deep affliction, yet they abounded in joy. They receive a great joy by being able to give, even though they were in poverty and maybe should have seek other churches to help them. Yet when they heard that people were starving in Jerusalem, when they heard that famine had struck that part of the world, and there were believers there, and yet they saw the message came to them from there, there was such a willingness. And Paul goes on to explain about these Macedonian churches. "For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves." He says, to their power and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. They had such a willingness to give, even though it was they were given beyond what they would have been estimated as being able to give. Beseeching us with much entreaty that we should receive the gift. Because when Paul saw the poverty, he said, no, I can't take that from you. You all can't give that amount. He said, but yet they in the deep poverty beseech them, beg them, plead with them with much entreaty that they should receive the gift to carry it for them. You see the character of the church? Look at the character of the church here. And if you understand anything with a spiritual mind, God give more space to what we're going to read here, giving, than he gives to signs, wonders, and any part of the Bible. Because it's one of the gifts. Giving is a gift. Romans 12 tells you that. And you say, well, I don't see the gifts. I saw them. I see them all the time. See? But watch. God expresses the ones that he has need to express at a particular time. And look at this. Beseeching us with much entreaty that we should receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. Ministering to the saints is a fellowship. You know, it's a fellowship. They take upon themselves the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave themselves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. They didn't give of the substance. They first gave themselves to the Lord and to us. And then they give the substance. Because God don't really receive gifts if the giver who is giving it don't give themselves first or give themselves with the gift. Because when God gave, he gave himself. Learn something about giving. Not the Pentecostal where they try to pull for money and these things, but the virtue of giving. You might be rich in time. You might have a lot of people here poor in where time is concerned. Because they might have a lot big families, they might have a lot of responsibility in their job, they have a lot of different things to see about, and they don't have much time left. Some people have a lot of time, but then they don't give none of that time to the service of the Lord. They idle that time away, or they take that time and they use it for selfish things, to go and run and jog and play and lime and old talk and this and waste time. And those times could say, there are some things wrong with church to do. Understand you all sound tapes, understand you all duplicate tapes, understand you all, you know, with maintainers in the church and different things. I could do this. I have a lot of free time. I can make myself available. I can do something to see the work advance, see it become more established. I want to give my time. I don't have maybe money to give. I don't have this way, but I have time to give. I hate to have some sick people to visit sometimes. I hate to have this to young ones to help them establish them. I want to give some of my time. So, I have a big van put down there in the yard, and I realize, you know, that could be used to help shuttle people when we have meetings and so. I would like to use that. Remember, Brother Van talked about the man who was saved and had his truck? And because he was convinced, he became concerned, and he brought so much of people in that truck to the meetings, and they got saved. God told Moses, what is that in your hand? He says, stick. God said, I'll use the stick. God asked the little boy, what do you have in your hand there? 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. I'll use that. He feed the multitude with it. Anything we have that we can surrender to God, God can use it. We don't have to just give money alone. See, Pentecostal is give money. We talk about giving of yourself, giving of your time, giving of in anything for the gospel to see the work go for. Watch. Look who he's teaching this here. Verse 5. And this they did, not as we hope, but first, he put first, he showed the order it was given. First, gave themselves to the Lord and unto us by the will of the Lord. Insomuch that we besought Titus that as he had begun, so He would also finish in you the same grace also. Titus was the one who had started taking up the collections. And he said, we beseech him, since he was the one who begun it, well, let him continue and complete this work so that the needs of the saints in Jerusalem could be met. And there's always something when you have faithful people that can be trusted with the responsibility, especially when there's churches, when there's people dependent upon the loyalty and the faithfulness and the dedication of the person to whom is given a responsibility, that they see it is for the Lord Jesus Christ, it's for his work, it's for his people. And they consider honor to do it. And they make themselves available, and they come under obligation, and they bear the burden of carrying out the responsibility. And those things don't go unnoticed. It'll go unwanted. When you see people willing to evade this, evade that, let this one do it, push on this one, and they own, when the blessing are wrong, they just want to soak up the blessing. You know something is wrong. See, they don't understand it. They haven't come to the place yet. Because Christianity is a life. It's not just a teaching, it's a life. Watch. And Paul is telling me, he said, therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith, notice how the order he puts it, faith first. Because faith, what is not a faith is sin. Faith is the root, faith is the foundation. An utterance, out of faith, comes with utterance. See, you give testimony, give witness. And knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that you are bound in this grace also. So Paul is telling him, he says, I notice you're a church full of knowledge. I notice you're a church full of faith. I notice you're a church full of utterance. He said, but see that you are bound in this grace also. Just, and he was using the example of the Macedonian church, who under hardship and in poverty give beyond the measure and entreated them and begged them to receive the gift. And they only give it after they gave themselves first to the Lord. And he's using their attitude to provoke the Corinthian church. Like I was using the scripture to provoke you to love and good works by saying, look at this Shunammite woman, look at Abraham, look at this one here, look at the widow at Zarephath, look at this here. See? And that's a principle in the word. And when that comes forth, then God comes down and God receives a sacrifice. And God blesses you. And we were certainly happy to see how God even blessed the young ones. And so when we understand as a church, as a group of people, all that goes with our responsibility. We don't just come through the doors in and out, and you know, when we come here, when we sit in here, we have the sense and the feeling that we sit at home. We sit around the table. You know, you put some people in a house and it's dog eat dog and everybody for themselves. But that's carnality. See? You see a family like that, that's chaos. You see a home and everybody's interested in the home, the welfare of the home. Everybody wants to help do something for the betterment of the home, for the betterment of the members of the family. That's a real home. That is an example home. Now, when you have the home church, this is a place to shelter the rain. If this is only designed to brave the weather, when we come under this roof, we feel as a family. This is the time when the church family spends time together. See? We don't live in each other's homes. We all have our individual homes. When we come here, this one home, under this one roof, will become a one family, under one roof, in one home. And that is why when we here in this home see the attitude, see the way we should be as a church, as a family, we rejoice when God blesses others. We suffer pain when we see different ones hurt and suffering pain. We're interested. We're not here for selfish. We're here as a body for the cause of Jesus Christ. And look at this. In verse 8, he tells him, he says, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the earnestness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. And I certainly prove the sincerity of your love. And I believe your love is sincere. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, and that you through his poverty might be rich. You see how he's doing that? You see how giving is not a natural thing? He's telling them about giving. He's using the example of the Macedonian churches. He's provoking them. He's telling them, yes, you have utterance, yet you have faith, yet you have knowledge, yet you're a great church, yet you're spiritual. But he said, let your giving be as much as your knowledge. Let your giving be as much as those other things too. And then he goes back to Jesus. He said, but look at Jesus. Didn't Jesus become poor that we could become rich? And aren't we living by his charity? Aren't we being able to overcome trials and love each other because we get in love from him? We're not paying him for love. He freely give it to us. We're not paying him for patience. We're not paying him for help. We're not paying him for the air we breathe. We're not paying him for the water we drink. What's are charging us for the water, yet God give the water. Amen. Yet what's are sending the bill whether we get water or not? Whether they got drought or not? Whether they lock off the water or not? What's are still sending the bill? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But it's God that has to send the rain. What's are can't bring the rain? God don't lock off the air. See? And you give him a chance, it's to get a chance to charge you for air to the charger for air. See? But the thing is, Paul is saying, look at us. If we live by the grace of Jesus Christ, freely offer his charity, then can others live off of ours? Oh, to be like thee? To be like Jesus? What does it mean to be like Jesus? See? Seeing his life, his character, his behavior, all these things, these are carnal, they're spiritual. So I want people selfish, stingy, gluttonous, covetous. It's sin. It's out of shape. It's hideous. It's deformed. When you see people unselfish, sacrificial, willing. See? You see Christ. But that's what he reflected. Look. So he says, do what? Prove the sincerity of your love. And then he says, how Jesus became poor, become rich. He said, and this I give my advice. For this is expedient for you, who have begun before not only to do, but also to be willing a year ago. Now therefore, perform the doing of it. That, as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which you have. So he says, perform the doing of it, that there was a readiness to will, so let there be a performance. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that which a man hath, and not according to that which he hath not. For I mean not that other men be eased in your burden, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. And he goes to the scripture again, watch. He's comparing them with the churches in Macedonia. He's saying these churches in Macedonia, they give what they could have given. And they couldn't give much, but what they give was even beyond the ability to give. He said, but you in a better position. And there was a readiness, and there should be a willingness to perform the doing of it too. He said, and the way God have things, it have a season when maybe they give less. You don't compare and say, well, I give 20 and they give 10. Why should I give 20? No, he said, no. And then he goes to the scripture now to show them. As it is written, he that had gathered much had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no lack. He go back to when they was picking up the manna in the Old Testament, in the journey. If they pick up more manna than they could eat, when the next day come, it was no good. See? And if a man pick up maybe what he thought was too little bit, it was sufficient when they ate it. So when you watch and you see that God has in his economy, God has everything balanced out. And sometimes he, in a certain season, you may have to do a certain work, then you do it with a willingness. You prove the sincerity of your love. You take the responsibility of the fellowship of ministering to the saints. And in doing that, you be like Christ who became poor that others could become rich. He said, but thanks be to God who put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. For indeed, he accepted the exhortation But being very diligent of his own accord, he went unto you. And we have sent with him the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. They didn't even name the brother. And not that only, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us with this grace, which is administered by us. You see?
Sometimes we go to Guyana, we choose a few to travel. And the churches take the responsibility of helping some travel in the journey, in the ministry.
You see, and who was also chosen of the churches to travel.
Because it was for the work's sake. They wasn't going on a picnic, they was going in the service of God. And among the churches, and that's why sometimes they are called to say, you know, we want a couple of brothers to go out. It's not that they want to go out. Sometimes these brothers labor here day and night, sacrificially. My brother Sanchez and these brothers building the pulpit, brother, you know, Luke and them doing the lights and different ones doing this and day and night and day and night. And they leave work and they come up and they sleep overnight and they get up the next morning doing these things. See? And when they do these things, sometimes all the church don't see it. They see the effects of it. They see the place goes on. But it's quiet, like that. Laboring day and night. And then sometimes the church says, okay, you know, these brothers, we should do something for them. And maybe with the saints, we should, you know, show them all appreciation. And then there's a readiness, there's a willingness. Because the church sees they are not just coming here to occupy a place. Look at Brother Jackie and they went out to paint this place. Sunday night, we stood there, and we looked at it, and they put all the new lights, and the place was still dark, and they couldn't get it clear in the video for the taping, and then a little inspiration trip and say, no, we should paint that white. But the meeting is going to start next couple of days. And he happened to stay up, and I says, myself, Brother Sanchez, and, you know, one of the trustees, he says, what do you think? He says, yeah, I think we should do that. And he says, well, we need to talk to Brother Jackie. He says, Brother Jackie, would you accept that? We need that done by tomorrow. Could you get the paint early in the morning or you just start? But he didn't have a plan. He didn't plan his weekend that way. And yet just come under the burden himself, Brother Edgar, a couple others, Brother Claude Alert, and they just get on it and begin to paint and his overhead painting, which is hard on the neck and the back and everything else. And one of the first days they went through, but Nigel, maybe they trust him to cook something on the hill, because nothing was arranged to really get somebody to cook a meal and bring it for them. And you know, they had it done. And we came, it was finished, it was done, and it was great. They ministered, they sacrificed, they labored, they accepted a responsibility. Hands was laid upon them suddenly. And they didn't make no excuse. They made themselves available. They committed themselves to the task. They painted until the wee hours of the morning, get a couple of hours, 4 or 5 o'clock, get a couple hours sleep, get up and start again. They have it done because they had to have it finished by a certain time. And you know, you see that it means something. And so they had it in the scripture. I don't take much time with some of these things. Because some of you take for granted people read the word. You take for granted people, you know, they look at how a home runs, and they realize a church home is the same way. But then some of these things need cultivating. Some of these things is why there's little barriers and obstacles between us, and why we fail sometimes to come into real harmony and real unity. But when we can appreciate the sacrifice, when we can see it, when we can understand what it takes out of people many times to get certain things done, to see the responsibility and the strain falls upon others who have to make themselves available, then we check our own willingness, how willing we are, what we can do. Have we ever even come one day and show that we're interested? How much we have received and benefited, and yet how much little we have given back? And see that how much greater the work can abound if we all could really rise up. And I'm sure I'm reading some of these things
to compliment you for the way that you serve and you give and you sacrifice, and then show you some other places where we can cultivate and see the world blossom out in a greater way. In verse 19, he says, "And not that only, but who has also chosen of the churches to travel with us, with this grace which is administered by us, to the glory of the same Lord, and to show our ready mind. Avoiding this, that no man should blame us in this abundance which is administered by us, providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. And we have sent with them our brother, whom we have often proved diligent in many things, but now much more diligent, upon the great confidence which I have in you." They were sending Titus, and Paul said, "Titus is known throughout all the churches." He said he started the work. He said, "We have proven time and time again the faithfulness of this brother to the work. We have proven time and time again the faithfulness and the love of this brother for the churches. We have proven time and time again the willingness of this brother to sacrifice, to go to help the people in the body of Jesus Christ. How committed, how convinced of the message of the hour." These things became the gospel, friend. Look, this thing was happening in churches. Yet you had places right in the same Bible, you read in Thessalonians, where people didn't want to work. Where people didn't want to do anything. Sure. Yet at the same time, watch how, where that life was manifested, watch how it had been complemented. And look what he says of them here. "Whether any do inquire of Titus, he is my partner and a fellow worker concerning you." Paul says somebody want to question why he does get the privilege, why he does get, you know, so much things to be entrusted upon him. Sometimes people see that, sometimes people sit on the church carnal and they kind of find minister favorite. They do this, they're pushing this one, this year, and they misunderstand it. Sometimes those are people who will take the last cent in the pocket. Sometimes those are people who will take the shoot off their back. Sometimes those are people who just come and ask what is to be done. See? But all those things will be announced to the church. Rebecca, a trumpet didn't blow and say, "Who watered the camel will go in the bride?" And everybody rushed into a drunk man with water and watered the camel. No. It's out of their heart what they do. And that's why sometimes when you see people being given certain honor and certain responsibility, because they are trustworthy, they are reliable and dependable, they've lived their own things and done this about God things. And Paul is saying, he said, "Whether any do inquire of Titus," because you know right away, people want to inquire, so we want to Titus this. And he is my partner and fellow worker concerning you. "Or our brethren be inquired of," he said, "they are the messengers of the churches and the glory of Christ." He said, they inquire about them brothers too. He said, "Let me tell you right away, them is the messengers to the churches." You think it's only seven churches and seven messengers? They were messengers to the churches and to the glory of Christ. Angels. "Wherefore show you to them and before the churches the proof of your love and our boasting on your behalf." He say, "Man, we boast about you. We boast you up so big that when the brothers come, let them see our boasting. That we boast about you is really what we boasted." And that is what we boast about you many times here. We boast about you around the world. And that's why people, they come. They say, "We want to come and see this church. We want to come and see these people. We want to come in the midst. We want to come among them." It goes on in the 9th chapter. It says, "For us touching the ministering to the saints." And that is what you did. I want you to know you have fulfilled the word over these last few days. I want you to know that you display the virtues that go with the responsibility of carrying the word. I want you to know that though you are bound in singing, and though you are bound in faith and utterance and diligence, and though you are bound in building, and though you are bound in all these different things, that you did over these few days abounded in giving and ministering to the saints. For as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. For I know the readiness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia. Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. Let me tell you, your zeal hath provoked very many. The saints in Ohio, they write. The saints in New Zealand, they came. The saints in Chile have now come. Since a couple of years ago, I said, God, tell me, invite some of these people. Bring them. Let them come. Let them be with you. Let them see. It's going to cost us. But then what it's going to do is provoke them. See, it's provoked them. Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain, in this behalf, that as I said, you may be ready. Lest somehow, if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, we that we say not, you should be ashamed in this same covenant boasting. So Paul said, I boast about you. Take it when these things come, they find you unprepared. Well, I could say they didn't find you unprepared. They found you very prepared. And so boasting of you wasn't in vain. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, of which you had noticed before that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. See? You see, we try to do a lot of picking up. The brothers come before and they receive. So it's not a matter of covetousness, it's a matter of bounty. You see how sometimes things can be misunderstood? So you have to clarify it. He's clarifying. He said, not of covetousness. They say, well, we want to make sure we have it in hand before the brothers come. No, it's not covetousness. It's a matter of bounty. So in the time comes, we have to be running to pick up this and pick up that and do this and run out of this and be short of this. We could have everything. It could be a matter of bounty overflowing. But this I say, he who soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He who soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. So he's showing you. You give a little, you get a little blessing. You give big, you get a big blessing. As I was saying on Tuesday night, when I saw how the Holy Spirit blessed the young people, and then it made me think of how God remembered the Shunammite woman's son. God remembered the Zarephath's son. God remembered Hatti Wright's sons. Because they gave sacrificially. They gave with consideration. They took the responsibility of the fellowship with the minister of the saints. And God blessed them. And the parents are glad when they see the children being blessed and enjoying serving the Lord and they're getting a victory. And they who are forced to come to church and church too long, they were happy and they were dancing and having a good time. And they were just drunk in the spirit and having a good time. Praise God. God remembered them, you see. And that in the end, friend, that is only the beginning. Every man according as he had purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And that word means hilarious, almost crazy, quick, reckless giver. It's a God love. See, a giver, you have a calculator here, checking the budget the next week, after, and you say, nah, I can't go. No. Cheerful, reckless almost. Almost like irresponsible, crazy almost. Why? Because his faith in that. He's sowing bountifully, God will reap, he'll reap bountifully. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. You see how he's taking natural giving and showing in every good work? And it's two chapters just written on this one thing alone about the responsibility of the fellowship to the ministering to the saints. So that was my influence. You wouldn't be a real church, Bible church, if you couldn't live out these things. But it is to your honor that you express these things, and these things have lived out through you, to show that you possess these virtues and it abound within you. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, His righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed soon and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. And Paul quotes Isaiah 54, talking about he who ministered seed to the sower. He quoted in Exodus. He quoted with Jesus becoming poor. He's continually quoting the Old Testament to show you, he's teaching that what he's asking is scripture and is something that should be in the church if the church is of God and living by the word. He said, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God for the administration of this service. Not only supply the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. He doesn't just supply somebody need. You glorify God when you do it too. Let men see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Let me tell you something. 98% of the people in this church is better off than these brothers from Chile. They live in little small broken down apartments. If you know anything about Latin America, it's poverty, the Catholic Church. Big Catholic churches all over, but poor as poor can be. Everybody, little farmers and little small little peasant work that they do. Yet, they don't care about themselves as poor and looking for a handout. Why? Like the African king's son, the prophet talked about. You have to be rich to have dignity. You have to be being blessed and have everything easy to have dignity. The man was poor, being humiliated as a slave. But he carried himself with honor because he knew. Didn't the brother testify, tell his own daughter that? In school, he reminded her, he said, you're the daughter of a minister, how to care about yourself. And he tells his story that the prophet told. See, you have to be rich to do things. And while by the proving of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed distribution unto them and unto all men. So your professed objection, you humble yourself to the word, you take the responsibility, you liberally distribute to all men. And by their prayer for you, who long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. But Abraham took that verse of scripture right there and preached the token in, I think it's Dallas or Shreveport, somewhere. Shreveport preached the token. Because we give that gift, but he bought us, not with money, but with his blood. And he put his life in us, the Holy Spirit, the unspeakable gift in us, that his very life can live out through us unto others. And we as a church body of believers that gather here, walking this revealed truth, that was part of the faith that the early fathers walked in. So God will bless you, especially the musicians, Brother Trevor, Brother Daniel here, Brother Joel, Brother Sister Monica, Brother Paul, Brother Graje, they're not here tonight, but some of them, but they labored. And all these sisters who sang, I think was the best I hear for a long, long time. Every time they came to sing, it was so inspired, so anointed. And the willingness the brothers showed to minister nights upon hours practicing into the wee hours of the morning and these things we should appreciate. We don't have to wait to pick up things for them. We should be able to just express out of our hearts the blessing that they are in the assembly. And we thank God for it. We should all be praying for them and hold them up before God, that God keep them and continue to make them a blessing, because they have inspired many around the world. Just in the humility, in the simplicity, playing, singing, serving in whatever way. And then
the unseen ones, the saints who take the tabernacle, consecutive days in a row services, night after night, to stay back, get the chair, all the brothers, line them back up, clean up the restrooms, had to work in between services, close up some of the restrooms, clean it, keep it clean, open it back during the service, continually, while people sitting down enjoying the word, they slip out there, mop up the place, get back in the seat. We still here, and we don't even know it be happening, but it's all be happening, it be taking place, because they are instructed and they take a responsibility to do it. See, brothers have the grounds so nice and kept and everything else, and the sisters who serve, and you know, so much was given, but we, all the families who came and they gave up their substance, God blessed them and supplied the need, and may they never ever go hungry, may they never ever go naked, may nothing naturally that they would be in need of, and spiritually may God give them eternal life and give them great blessings in the world to come. Amen. He have in store for them for all the faithful labor that God sees. Martin, when Martin cut that little half a coat, the Lord was looking at it. When Hattie Wright gave that little offering, God was looking at it. When that widow gave her 2 mites, Jesus was standing right there, seeing it and preaching about it. And so many times, we think that these things go unnoticed, but God sees it. He ordains it to be done, and he sends the blessing behind it. So God bless you, and thank you again so much for your generosity, your hospitality, your faithfulness, your willingness, and may you continue to serve in that way, and always remember that these are things that is right in the Bible. Now I take the pains to read it, and I can show you, you are fulfilling the word. You are living out the word. You are proving that you are a Bible church. You are proving that the same seed, the same characteristics that was in them are in you. And as we get ready to leave, just in the bow our heads, pray. Father, we thank you tonight for these few moments of expressing our appreciation and gratitude, giving thanks unto you and to the people for their willingness and the manner and the capacity in which they did serve. The great blessing it was for your kingdom, Lord, and all the visitors locally and foreign, God, that it was done on behalf of even the local saints here. Lord, it was done in a manner as it was being done unto you. And we know, Lord, you see these things. It's written in your word. It's part of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this virtue you desire to see it abound in us as the others. And so many times neglected because we take it light and we see it as a carnal thing. But yet God, we realize that it's so scripturally backed up, and how Paul established it dear to that Corinthian church, because they have given, Lord, because they were provoked to give because of the attitude in giving of the Macedonian saints who were so poor and yet dear God. And we realize that one person's life can provoke another person. One church, Lord, expression can provoke another church. And so, Lord, we always desire to be provoked continually in your service and never to be slothful or negligent in accepting the responsibility and fulfilling all that you require of us. We'll all be willing, Lord, and find the Holy Spirit present as we make ourselves available to give us the ability to serve you in the way that it would bring glory to your name and assistance to your people. Bless the people, Father. May you supply the need of each and every one. Faithful, loyal musicians. Faithful singers. And consecrate themselves. The workers, the painting. And Lord, the electrical work that was done. And all, Father, that they're undertaking. Those who give up their substance to feed and those who iron clothes and wash clothes and did everything, Lord, that the entire time could be a great display of the life of Jesus Christ. Lord, to give honor and pay tribute to loyal, faithful servants who have dedicated themselves and hazarded themselves to carry this message in this dark age. Sometimes we think that these things are nothing, but Lord, we realize that all these things amount to something, Father. All these things is part of the gospel. No wonder Paul, when he was speaking about Phoebe, he says, she's my help in the gospel. And he spoke to that Roman church that when she come by, whatever she was in need of, that they should supply and undertake for her. And to think that, Lord, our sister could be so highly commended. And a part of a chapter in the gospel can be given to her, when many great apostles and prophets' names were not even mentioned. We realize little services do not go, Lord, unnoticed. You give importance to all these things because it is important. And I pray, dear God, will encourage us to be more diligent, more dedicated, be more willing, to be more involved and to be willing to participate and not to stand afar off and not to try to leave it for others, but in every way we can do something. Because you didn't just bring us to be a spectator. When you call us and made us part of this body, was to be a participator. So there is something for us and there's a place for us, and you give each and every one of us a measure of faith. We might minister, dear God, the body fitly joined and compacted together, by which every joint supplied for the more effectual working. May you make us a real great church here. We can represent you in this region. And our influence, Lord, can provoke many others to serve you and to be made ready for your coming this hour. Keep us faithful. Bless the ministry. Bless the deacons, the trustees, the song leaders, the musicians, the librarians, the workers, the singers, Lord, the helps, the governments. In every way, dear God, the families represented, the young men, the young women, may we all bear our burden and take our responsibility with honor and dignity. May you find us involved and participating and be expressing the life of Christ and being a real, true witness, true representatives of yours in this hour. Grant it, Lord. Give us such a desire in our hearts to see your name glorified, to see this gospel go forth, not in word only, but in power and demonstration. Make us so salty that when others come in contact with us, they become thirsty to know this Jesus. Oh, God, may you grant it, Father. When we leave this place tonight, as we get ready to go, may your presence go with us. Take us safe into our homes. Watch over us and keep us in the way as we travel to our destinations. Should a tyrant lost life, give us grace, bring us back on Sunday morning, where we could come in your presence, Lord, to worship you. Lord, to continue standing steadfast and movable, abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing our labor for the Lord is not in vain. Grant it, we pray. Bless each and every one again, Father. In Jesus' precious and wonderful name, we ask all these mercies, giving you thanks for all things. Amen. We have a dedication here for a vehicle, Brother Neville. Lord bless me, the little maxi taxi. We'd like to have it dedicated to the service of the Lord. We just want to bow our heads. Father, we thank you for our dear and precious Brother Neville, one of the elders of the assembly, one of the first ones, a pillar, Lord. When you called me, I went back from Santa Cruz. He's one of the first ones, Lord, that received and believed the testimony. And you gave him his own individual and personal testimony as well. And how gallantly and faithfully you have served with me down through these years at my side, standing here in the assembly, he and his family being part of the burden, showing themselves to be faithful and dedicated. And how you have blessed him, Lord, and how thankful we are for every blessing that you bestow upon him. And every time you do something, Lord, to make his heart happy and to make his life a little more comfortable and to make his family is more establishing. May you ever continue to bless him and bless them for their faithful, dedicated lives and service. And Lord God, may he never be lacking in nothing. And I pray tonight as he would ask for dedication, for the vehicle you have supplied him. Truly, O God, it was a blessing that you directed him to acquire this vehicle, but truly to be of benefit to him, to the work of the Lord, and Lord, to the work that he would use it for. May you sanctify it tonight, and may it always be used with dignity and with honor, Lord, as a gift that you have given to him. May, dear God, as whenever he would drive it, he'd be reminded, Lord, that you love him and you thought about him and you provided it for him. May it not bring heartache and pain and loss of time and burden and weariness. We know vehicles many times, sometimes they break down, sometimes they fail to operate, sometimes they consume so much money and gasoline and everything else. But may this one be a blessing to him. May it be a comfort and peace of mind to him, Lord. As you use it, dear God, you could get much service out of it. Grant it, Lord, may you ever watch over it, keep it from theft and vandalism, and may it be sanctified now and be dedicated for the service which will be used. May your presence always accompany him in it. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask, as we dedicate it to you for service, for your honor and for your glory, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Sorry to keep you a little long, but we have no service Wednesday. We glad for each and every one of you. See you Sunday morning. Amen. You recuperate, rebuild your strength, and come out and worship God, take up your positions, and let's unite our faith together and become a solid group and move on forward in faith. The work is great, a lot of work yet to be done, but as God encourages us along the way and teaches us and molds us and makes us to be more equipped and more fortified, and be trained soldiers and know better how to represent him and carry out his word, we want to give ourselves completely over to him, that what we do can amount to something, where we can see souls saved, the sick healed, people delivered, the church inspired, the scattered church pulled together, receive some supernatural strength and be made ready for his coming, the lukewarm church shaken, convicted, be inspired, rise to our feet, wherever God uses to provoke others unto love and good works, that we can be a church that will be truly serving God's purpose. Let us all take our place here in the assembly. Let us all know that we have something we can do. And let us all have a heart, a willing heart, a willing mind to be involved in that service. As little as it might be, as great as it might be. And when we do it as unto him who first loved us and gave himself to be the propitiation for our sins. Redeemed us by his grace, washed us in his blood, come back to live in us by his Holy Spirit, make us part of him. We have so much to thank him for tonight. He's so wonderful, he's so marvelous, he's so precious. Without him, we can do nothing. Amen. We just want to always remember that. But through him, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Amen. Blessed be his name. Let's just sing a little song as we go. If I can help somebody as I go along, then my living shall not be in vain. Amen. If I can help somebody as I pass along, if
I could have somebody with a word or song. If I can show somebody somebody he is traveling wrong. Oh, then my living and my living shall not be in vain. Then my living shall not be in vain. Then my living shall not be in vain. Then my living shall not be in vain. Somebody as I pass along, and my living, hallelujah, shall not be in vain.
If I can do my duty as a Christian or tonight,
my duty as a Christian,
if I can bring back beauty
back beauty
to a world of wrath, I can spread God's message.
God's message
as the master's door.
The door
in my living, oh, it shall not be in vain. Then my living shall not be in vain. Purpose in your heart. You will live upright. You will live true to this word. You love the Lord with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength, and love your brother as yourself. Hallelujah. Someone about the love of Jesus Christ. Let your light shine bright in this hour. If I can show somebody, get them off the broad path and bring them on the straight and narrow path. He is
traveling wrong. Traveling wrong. Oh, then my living. That's why God gave us this treasure in vessels. Put the word in flesh. Let's sing, if I can do my duty as a Christian or not. If I can do my duty. Hallelujah. As a Christian. If I can bring back beauty, if it's the one life self. Whether in the office, at home, on the job, in church. World of wrath. I can spread God's message. God's message, as the Master taught. Oh, then my living shall not be in vain. Not being big. God bless you.